We're about to start Marvin's message and the teaching for today as we continue our Kryptonite series. So I'm going to hand things off back to the main auditorium here with this this next clip. And yeah, we'll see what we've got for the day.
Shall have the honor, no, the privilege to go forth and rescue the lovely Princess Fiona from the fiery keep of the dragon. If, for any reason, the winner is unsuccessful, the first runner-up will take his place, and so on and so forth. Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Did you catch that? It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make, and yet he is not giving up anything. My friends, I am Lord Farquaad, not only in height, but in self-centeredness. That there are times where I want you to sacrifice for my benefit. This is the height and the epitome of selfishness. I see it in my life. I see it in my family, and I am Lord Farquaad. I believe if we were to be honest, that you would admit that you too are Lord Farquaad. Having a self-centered concern for yourself and for myself without due regard for the needs of others. As long as we don't have to give up anything or go through any pain, we are willing to let others sacrifice for our benefit to show that we are noble. We are all Lord Farquaad, people with small hearts and an obsession with self-preservation. You know, when we live self-centered lives, we weaken and even destroy our relationships. Husbands, spouses destroy and weaken their relationships with their spouses. Parents weaken their relationship with their children. Children weaken their relationship with their parents. Employers weaken their relationships with their employees. We are all, in some sense, Lord Farquaad, sacrificing, letting others sacrifice for our benefit and us not giving up anything. To one degree or another, we all try to protect ourselves without thinking about others. We all, my friends, practice self-preservation. And we typically do it by because we are afraid of losing something. We are trying to hide something, or we're trying to prove something. Those are reasons we practice self-preservation. Those are the reasons why we have a self-centered concern for ourselves. From the time we were born, we have practiced self-preservation and selfishness. Don't you know? You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. A child will say, mine, mine, mine. And then we get older and we just become older children. Mine, mine, mine. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, one of the sins that they passed down to us among a lot of sins is the sin of selfishness. Now we don't like to call it sin. If you noticed in the clip that the people applauded selfishness as a virtue rather than a vice. They clapped for Lord Farquaad and his selfishness. And in our world today, in our culture today, there are individuals who will say that, man, selfishness is a virtue. You have to be selfish in our world. And yet, we see that the Bible calls it sin. Now, I need to say, when talking about selfishness, I need to tell you, I need to be clear as to what it is, and what it is not. Because I don't want us to be confused when we talk about selfishness. Now, when we're talking about selfishness, I am not talking about self-care. I am not talking about our stewardship to take care of our bodies, to take care of our minds, and to take care of our emotional health. We ought to have boundaries so that others, we don't become doormats for others. We have a stewardship. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. The way we love ourselves is the way we're to love our neighbors. The way we care for ourselves is the way we're to care for our neighbors. So when I talk about selfishness, I am not saying that you and I ought to jettison self-care. We ought to not take care of ourselves, to let ourselves go. That's not what I'm talking about. I am not talking about not having boundaries. I am not talking about burning out at the expense of truly, truly, genuinely caring for family and friends. That is not what I'm talking about. It's not what I'm referring to when I say selfishness. So what then am I talking about when I say selfishness? Here's a simple definition of what it means to be selfish from a biblical standpoint. Selfishness, here it is a self-centered concern for oneself without due regard for the needs of others. Selfishness is a self-centered concern for oneself without due regard for the needs of others. It is going to the store, getting your favorite snack without asking anybody else in the house if they wanted anything. It is you taking the last two or three slices of pizza without asking, did anybody else want this slice? It is the employer, not raking in money for his or her own benefit without thinking about the employees. It is a husband getting up, making breakfast, not just for himself, but saying, baby, do you want me to make you something as well? It is the child coming to their parents, mom, dad, Do you want me to take out the garbage? No, mom, dad, you don't take out the garbage. I will take out the garbage. I think that's a really good thing. It is this sense where a child or a parent is saying, no, I'm going to focus on me before focusing on you. It is placing ourselves at the center of the universe and stepping on others, misusing others, mistreating others as we place our needs above other people's needs. Well, Marvin, listen, everybody is selfish. And listen, it is a dog-eat-dog world. And if I don't eat first, then I get eaten by others. If I don't elbow my way to the front of the line, will there be anything left for me? If I don't practice self-preservation, no one is going to preserve me. I have to have a self-centered concern for myself and not worry about other people. The truth is this. We have been discipled by the culture into selfishness. We have become disciples of our culture, and we have actually allowed the culture to shape us, to shape our hearts, to shape our minds, to be selfish individuals and to call it a virtue rather than a vice that weakens and ruins and destroys our relationships. So the question is, where does it begin? Where does selfishness begin? And here's at the base level of where selfishness began. Selfishness, here it is, I'm in the notes now. Selfishness at its root is the dethronement of God. Selfishness at its root is the dethronement of God. In other words, it is not keeping God in his rightful place. It is actually saying, God, I got this. You are no longer the center of the universe. You are no longer the center of my frame of reference. I am now the center of my frame of reference. There's a verse for that. Here is Romans chapter 1. Paul is talking about how individuals, the consequences of not retaining God, not acknowledging God, not acknowledging God as God. Listen to what Paul says. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God. So here now is the result of not acknowledging God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done, including selfishness. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil and covetousness and malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish and faithless and heartless and ruthless. These are all consequences of not retaining God and consequences of selfishness. Though they know God's righteous decree, they who practice such things deserve to die. So the consequence of our sin apart from Jesus is death. They not only do them, but they approve of those who practice them. You saw the clip that the people applauded Lord Farquaad. They approved of his selfishness. You see, when God ceases to be the center of our frame of reference, guess what? We become the center of our frame of reference. It is where selfishness begins. And we become self-centered, seeking our own needs before the needs of others. You see, when God is no longer the center of our frame of reference, we will make up our own standards, and all of those standards will benefit us versus benefiting others. Man, when we talk about discipleship is hard. And Jesus wants us to be discipled by him and not the world. When God is enthroned, he becomes the standard for our living. Then we will follow his example. One of the greatest examples of selflessness that we've ever seen is when God gave up his son, and his son gave up his life. We just celebrated that. The broken body of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, God gave up his son and say, I care about you. I love you. I want you to have life. I want to restore my relationship with you. And so I gave up my son. My son gave up his life so that we might, in fact, live for God. So not only is there the result of the dethronement of God, is selfishness now becomes characteristic of the sinner and our sinful culture. That's the second idea, that it actually flows out of our lack of retaining and acknowledging God as the ultimate center of our frame of reference. Listen to a couple of verses. It says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And listen, this is one of the reasons why Jesus died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So part of the death of Jesus is for us to now live for others and not for ourselves. Here's another verse that shows the selfishness of our culture. And this is from Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. So kings were kind of, they were designed to be God's representatives over the people. And when there was no king that was following God, the people literally lived according to their own standard. Listen to the text. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Kind of like what Romans says, there is no God in that. The people didn't retain God in their minds. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That is the epitome of selfishness. When I do what's right for me without any regard for you. And then here's another passage. But understand this, that in the last days, talking about before Jesus returns, there will come times of difficulty for people will be lovers of self, that's selfishness, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And so what Paul is saying here is that our culture is going to be characterized not by selflessness, but by selfishness. And all we have to do is look around. We don't have to look around at other people. We can look around at our own home and say, you know something, man, I am pretty selfish. Or I look at my kids and say, wow, did we disciple them to be this selfish? And so this is the reality. Our culture has tapped into our sinful nature, and among so many other attitudes and actions, it has discipled us into selfishness. So we become lovers of ourselves, and selfishness becomes the kryptonite that weakens our relationships with the people that we love. Even Jesus's disciples, those who walk with him, were bitten by this bug. Listen to the text. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? I love that Jesus didn't rebuke them. He didn't chide them. He just said, hey, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. Now, the interesting thing about this verse here is that Jesus has just literally finished saying, hey, fellas, I'm going to die. Hey, fellas, I'm going to suffer a horrible death. Hey, fellas, I'm about to lose my life. And there should have been mourning and lamenting, and the mood is kind of like low. It's like Jesus, our rabbi, our teacher, is about to die. And heavy on the heels of this very, very somber mood, these guys said, hey, can you give me a promotion when you get to come into your kingdom? Hey, when you come into your glory, hey, can you make us like the right and your left hand, man? It's like the insensitive nature of selfishness. Selfishness moves beyond what other people are feeling and says, hey, I'm going to advance my cause and concern. Listen, I have had more James and John moments than I care to remember. All you got to do is ask my wife. And she will tell you, yeah, he has had James and John moments. Here's one when my wife was struggling in this moment of being between jobs and wondering if she had value in the job world. And she's pouring out her soul and she's pouring out her heart and she's like weeping and she threw me a, like this was a softball, right? This was a big old beach ball to say, you have a moment in time to win the Husband of the Year award. I'm throwing you a really, really easy pitch to hit. And what did I do? I had a James and John moment where I said, I don't know what to say. Like I'm watching the game or I'm looking at my phone. And it was like a few weeks later where she said, do you remember when I poured out my heart? And as men, I tried my best. I don't really remember that. But I did. And I had a James and John moment when I had an opportunity to be selfless and to come near and to weep with those who weep and to hold her hand and to sit with her and say, baby, I'm trying to understand. Help me to understand. Or just simply, I am paying attention. We all have our James and John moments, right? Where when it's time to be selfless, we choose selfishness versus selflessness. Now, the world has discipled us into selfishness. The world has discipled us, and there are at least four ways the world has discipled us. Now, I'm going to give you four types of selfish people. There are probably more, but they fit in these categories. And then I'm going to give you a moment or two to reflect and to say how does selfishness rear its ugly head in my life based on these. So here's the first one. Here's the first one is Mr. and Miss Marvelous. Mr. and Miss Marvelous, another name for this is narcissism. It is this person expects you to marvel at their existence. When you walk into a room, it smells like Febreze because the world bows at your feet. It is the self-importance that oozes out of you. And when you walk into a room, would you please bow at my feet? Dun, 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 dun! I'm here. That is Mr. and Miss Marvel. Your problems are more important than anybody else's. So when you get into a conversation, you give your problems, but when it's time for someone to tell you theirs, you shut it down very quickly. Here's a second one, the manipulator. The manipulator has the strings and moves things into position, and they tell you what you want to hear so they can get out of you what they desire. And they're moving the strings, and they're moving this person in place and this person in place and this person in place so that they can get what they want. These are political individuals. And ultimately, they are selfish to get what they desire. They shower you with praise. They pander to you. They flatter you, not because they really mean it. It's because they desire to get what they want. Number three is the martyr. The martyr is a very interesting selfish person because on the outside, the martyr looks like they're sacrificing for you. But really, they are sacrificing for them. They are saying, pay attention to my sacrifice. Look at my blood that spilled out for you. See the pain and see the roughness of my hands. I have poured out my life for you. And then if you don't recognize their sacrifice, they become bitter and resentful toward you. Y'all know anybody like that? The martyr. This is the type of person that sacrifices their hard-earned money to buy a gift that they like, that they know you don't like. When you open it, you'll say, that's not really what I want. And you'll say, I'll take that off your hands. That is the martyr. And then you have the control freak. The control freak is the one who says, I want the upper hand And they try to exhibit control in anything they do. If something doesn't go according to their plan and the way they desire, they will try their best to redirect the situation to meet their needs before the other people's needs are met. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment. I know this is hard. I know this is hard. Listen, I show up on all of these, right? Like I remind, Tanya tells me all the time, like she tells me all the time, when I take out the garbage or when I empty the dishwasher and I say, "Dude, I have emptied the dishwasher," and I let everybody know, "I have taken out the garbage. Did you see how I did that?" And she said, "So you want a parade, right?" Like I am on this list, and I'm quite sure you are too. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment, and I just simply want you to write the one that seeps out of your life sometimes. And if you want to talk about it with the people next to you, that's cool too. Now, listen, check this out. If you have no idea which one of these you are, people that know you best do. They know, and they've been dying for you to ask the question so they can tell you. So here's a question that you can ask. What is it like to be on the other side of me? So take a moment and write down which one seems to come out in your life. All right, take a moment and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. If you want to talk about it with the people around you, Tanya, I'm not coming down there, because talk about it with the people around you if you desire to do so. But if you say, "I'm going to write it down," go ahead and write it down. Yes, I am trying to start a fight. That's how I keep my job. I keep my job. So when you start a fight, you can come to me to counseling and that sort of thing. So I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You need some counseling. Yes, I do too. So again, my friends, this is about discipleship. This is about discipleship. This is about being discipled by Jesus and not the world. So the question that I'm asking myself, how do we kill the kryptonite in our lives and be discipled by Jesus rather than being discipled by the world? That's the $64,000 question. How do we refuse in this particular area of selfishness to refuse to be discipled by the world and really be discipled by Jesus? And I have just two things. The first one is, follow the example of Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. Here's a verse. Let each of you look not only to his own interest. Now, notice that verse. Let each of you, this is personal, look not only. So remember what I started off and said, what selfishness is not? Here's a clear example that you are to care for yourself. You are to care for your own interests. But Paul says, not only your own interests, but also the interest of others. So think about other people before you think about yourself. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ. So selflessness is a mindset. Selfishness is a mindset. And it is about the Spirit of God changing our mindset so that we actually think like Jesus and not like the world. who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But here's the antidote right here. But emptied himself. So part of what it means to kill kryptonite is about emptying ourselves of ourselves and actually paying attention to others. By taking on the form of a servant, that we serve one another. Instead of being selfish, we serve. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here is, my friends, if you don't hear anything else, here is one of the keys. Selflessness is a daily death. Fighting selfishness is a daily death. Jesus died on the cross. He died. He became a servant to the point of death. And our servanthood is a daily death, is a daily emptying of ourselves. It is a daily saying, changing my mind. It is the other person and not me. It is opening the door for another person. It's ironing clothes for another person. It is making breakfast first for another person. It is looking at the needs of another, saying that I love you enough to serve you. To serve you. So follow the example of Jesus, and then here's the second thing. The second thing is to love and serve others. The outflow of a Jesus mindset is loving and serving others. Listen to what the text says. This is John chapter 13, verse 34. This is what Jesus says. A new commandment I give you, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. Giving up. Jesus gave up himself. You also are to love one another. The consequence of a Jesus mindset is loving other people. And out of that love comes serving. Verse 24, it says, passage in, I think, 1 Corinthians, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Now, again, this is not just about giving yourself away without the thought of you. This is about, I'm thinking about myself, yes, my own interests, yes, but I'm not just thinking about my own interests. Thinking about my neighbor, thinking about the near ones. That's what neighbor means, near ones. And I would say, begin with the nearest near ones. Those in your house, those on your job, those on your team, those who are closest to you. I want to show you just a little clip that I hope sums up everything we attempted to talk about today. Take a look. the hands that God has given us, the feet that God has given us. Jesus died so that we no longer live to ourselves, but that we live for him. And part of living for him is actually living for others. BT, back to you, my friend.
Marvin, thank you so much. Like I said at the beginning of the gathering, how Jack's message last week had convicted me and changed some things. Like hearing this message is the same, right? Like, man, thank you for that. And your that last point, like I need that written out on my wall so I remember. Friends in the building and online, please, I'd love to be able to hear something that stood out to you this week. So if you can connect with us in the All Church group on Facebook, I'd love to hear like maybe what lyrics stood out to you from the song, or what was a takeaway from Marvin's message? Like what's something that you're going to bring into this coming week and whatever you do. So let's connect somehow so we can share that with someone online or in the building here as you're leaving, or however you want to share that. That would be great. Remember info.wearetrinity for any information that you would need to look for, as well as the giving link and checking in and VBS, all of that. So friends, I'm not going to prevent you from getting outside any longer because it looks great out. I hope you have a great day, and thank you so much for joining us.